Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to our digital audio service. We're going to hear in James today that every perfect gift, every good gift comes down to us from God. There's a lot these days to be disappointed about, but what are you thankful for? What's in your life today, right now, which causes you to say, "Thank you, God," and just enjoy it? Today, we're enjoying communion together. So please feel free to use what's available at home as communion elements. Maybe that's some water or juice, bread or crackers. Maybe it's a meal you're eating. A meal is a great way to celebrate that sacred and special moment that we call communion. Over the next 45 minutes or so, we'll hear a number of voices from our team. We're taking instructions from our government seriously, so this digital audio service has been recorded remotely or with a small number of people present and working at a distance from one another. With that said, today you'll hear a sermon from Dave Soames from our new series in the book of James, Ancient Wisdom for Right Now. We'll also enjoy some music together. Let me just take a moment or two before we begin our service to mention a couple of ways to stay connected or get further involved. First, if you're new or newer, welcome. We're really glad that you're coming along with our church, getting to know us a little bit, and we look forward to getting to know you. We have a welcome meetup that we're going to be doing online on May 31st, so please reach out and let us know if you're new or newer. We'd love to help you get better connected, and you can find ways of doing that online. We have a prayer and care page online on our website, so if you have a need or you'd like to be prayed for, please let us know. Something new, along with our life groups that are continually moving along, is something we're calling process groups. Process groups are a place to stay together, a place to hear one another, and process what we're all experiencing connected to this pandemic. If you're interested in process groups, find more information on our website. Mother's Day is next week, and we've got something special planned to celebrate and thank mothers. It's a drive-through and a drive-to. You can find that information on our website, and we'll talk more about it at the end of our service. So welcome. We're so happy that you've tuned in. Let's begin with a reading today from James 1, verses 16 to 18, and a prayer from Carlin and Ryan Bedwell.
Thanks, Luke. Before we sing together, I, along with my daughter, Carlin, would like to take a moment to read today's scripture and say a quick prayer. Carlin, why don't you read for us James chapter 1, verses 16 to 18.
Okay. Do not be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possessions.
Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and generosity toward us. As we gather today, be present with us. Help us to quiet our thoughts and our souls so that we may hear what you are saying to us clearly. We pray that you would make us more like you today. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Again and again. call out to you again and again.
I love singing Faithful One. There's various songs written for various reasons. And that song, as we have just sung, is a song that's words are directed to God. What a beautiful expression of worship today. Faithful One, you're the ageless one. You're my rock of hope. How good it is to sing it. How good it is to say it. And how great the potential is to know this in someone's life and to experience this for themselves. I want to invite you today to further open your heart and receive this new life and new relationship that God desires for you. What a joy it will be a little later in our gathering to share communion. Carlin has just read a passage, or earlier in our gathering, a passage from James chapter 1. I encourage you to get your Bible out and or perhaps find this passage on your device, James chapter 1, verses 16 to 18, in the New Living Translation. As a child, I was never afraid of the dark. In fact, the darker the better for playing hide and seek after supper in my neighborhood. There was a real hide and seek pecking order that had a lot to do with speed and agility and danger aversion. If someone was concerned about dirt, mud, or somehow feeling trapped as they hid, it would really limit their choices of where they could hide. Of course, the better you were, or the older you were, the more you noticed the young ones, the beginners. And again, we're talking kid talk here, but the young ones. I remember one of the first lessons to learn, reversing the idea that if you can't see them, they can't see you. Do you remember thinking that as a young kid?
I mean, that's not the case at all, but certainly an early childhood belief. And there it was displayed in hide-and-go-seek on my street. Many a young one would try hiding behind a small tree with their eyes closed and, of course, body exposed on either side of the tree and wondering why they're so easily found. And again, if I can't see them, they can't see me. Well, you really only make that mistake once in your life. Perhaps in some way this passage in James is addressing some of those misconceptions we have with God. Well, if we can't see God, he mustn't see us or maybe even exist. If we can't hear God, he mustn't be hearing us, and perhaps he's not even speaking. Well, what about the misconception that says if we can't understand the actions of God, he mustn't be able to be understood? In this good wisdom literature, James hits these misconceptions pretty hard. Let's look at these verses. Verse 16, you maybe have your device open. The verse says this. It shows us that when it comes to misconceptions, James says, you and I can be misled. James says, don't be misled. He puts it right out there. Right out there. You and I have, regardless of who we are, we have the potential to be misled. So there's a statement that James makes. It's a statement of admission. And again, confession is different than admission. Confession is admitting that something happened. Admission is admitting that something could happen. And James is sharing a statement of admission. We Christians, all people, have the potential to be misled. Friends, the gospel requires that we get comfortable with confession and admission. And again, repeating myself, but the admission that James makes here is in the area of being misled. And to help make a point, James uses a verb here that comes in a passive form, shedding light on the idea that perhaps being misled may happen to those who do not pay attention. Specifically being illustrated by the idea of someone not paying attention and being pickpocketed, or not paying attention and slowly deviating off of the correct path, or perhaps even in our thinking, the idea of a wandering mind. Any growing relationship with Christ requires that we have the potential to be misled. During times that are confusing, when we're tempted, we are prone to wander. We don't have to have it all figured out all the time. And again, admission is not condoning or promoting an action. It's just admitting that it could happen. And James is calling his readership and to us today to be comfortable with admission. For admission puts a name on what is hard for us. But if we feel we always have to put our best foot forward, then Christianity is going to be hard. The message of grace and mercy is going to be confusing. And actually, true Christian community may never be found. And furthermore, this type of person and this type of mindset may actually restrict our ability to participate in the Lord's Supper that we'll share a little bit later in this service. For what calls us to the table is the need for confession and admission. So James continues to teach us, verse 17, if you have your device open, your Bible open, James says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. Wow, what a thought-provoking idea. This verse certainly tells us about God's character and reminds us of his actions. We certainly see God's heart and how much he wants us to receive. He wants to give to us, even as Luke mentioned at the beginning. The gospel is about receiving. Christianity is first and foremost about receiving. It's not about giving. That comes later in the conversation. For here, James speaks specifically about the commitment God has made to deliver good gifts. at the right time and in the right way. So here again, James, in this book full of ancient wisdom for today, wants earnestly for us to know this. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift. It's a gift. Now notice the singular here. God delivers a gift. If you're looking on your device, God delivers a gift. Perhaps highlighting the idea of one gift at a time or one piece at a time. We often feel we need more than one gift at a time or one piece at a time. And certainly when we find ourselves walking through this COVID-19 with all of the matters at hand, we are a needy people wanting perhaps sometimes more than what's best for us, or perhaps even more than what God is prepared to give to us. For certainly when he walked alongside the Israelites in the Old Testament, it was about manna for the day, and they were able to find some contentment in that, and perhaps we'd be best if we did that as well. But again, this COVID-19 is offering us some simple opportunities to perhaps do some things that we wouldn't normally do. I just finished last week a short story. Now, at the risk of making that sound really impressive, don't be. But I'd wanted to try this for years. And coming from the inspiration of the late Stuart MacLean, the writer of all those good short stories on Vinyl Cafe, I have officially completed my first 2,120-word fictional short story. Oh, yeah. To get some coaching, I read an article by Stuart MacLean a little while ago encouraging an up-and-coming would-be writer like me. The article said, just get started. Just get going on this. For if you don't start, you'll never finish. Just start. You don't have to have all the ideas lined up. You don't have to be linear necessarily in your thinking. Stuart gave me some much-needed permission to start, just to start. Get going. Find the name of a character. Find a neighborhood. Just start writing. And with this kind of approach, though, you end up writing a story, perhaps, that you never thought you're going to write. So that happened to me. I just started writing and ended up telling a story that I had no idea I would tell. Why am I talking about this? This is not what James is saying about God's narrative. And friends, I think once and for all, we need to settle this once and for all. God doesn't write stories the way Dave Soames writes a story, which is all over the place. God's plan, his ideas, his narrative aligns with his best plan, his best promise, his best purpose, and all of his best provisions. And of course, that is to be understood in an earthly and eternal context. Do you believe that? I think life gets hard when we question this, when we are double-minded on our trust and confidence in a living Lord. Friends, God doesn't randomly, sporadically show up writing at our expense. He doesn't get involved at certain times. God doesn't lead us here and then move over there and then pivot, change his mind, back up, change this, reconsider, reimagine, start over, take away that chapter, move on to the next. That's not the way God deals with his people. Rather, James is helping us see God's interest is to go on record to tell us that he does all that he can to give to us. He's going public. God's saying, I'm in your corner, and if you meet me in this corner, I got all that you need for today, and I offer you the promise for all of your tomorrows. Ricky reminded us last week that God doesn't want to get us, he wants to grow us. And perhaps in this text, we see God doesn't want to get from us, he wants to give to us. Jeremiah said it this way in chapter 29, verse 11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're good plans. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. These plans, the specific words Jeremiah used in his prophetic message is the same word used to describe the details of the unique craftsmanship mentioned in Exodus 31 that speaks of the designing and construction of the tabernacle, so intricate, so personal, so useful, specific, necessary, careful, so beautiful, so unique, and done in such a timely way. And that's what James is saying in this text. So we got to get our thoughts right about God. Don't let these truths, the untrue things about God, take away from your understanding of Him. Don't be misled into thinking any less than all that is good about all that God has in His mind for you. Don't wander away with your troubles or questions in the midst of any trial. Don't be tempted to change your opinion of the trustworthiness of your God. Don't go running ahead of God and take control of your story. Stay with God. Trust Him and take Him at His word. And James is calling us to that place of integrity. Verse 17, God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heaven, He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. James is giving such good insight. Understanding and believing this makes us wise. James says, this God never changes or casts a shifting shadow. So if that is the case, then where do shadows come from? Well, the sun doesn't create a shadow. Something on earth blocks the sun and creates the shadow. And it's the same way in our relationship with God, James is saying. Just because we can't see God doesn't mean God can't see us. Just because we can't understand the ways of God doesn't mean God can't be understood. And just because we can't hear God doesn't mean He's not speaking. The question is, what would cast a shadow over our seeing, our hearing, and our believing? Perhaps this gets up close and personal when we think about the days and perhaps tragic events that have happened in history, or perhaps even this COVID-19 global pandemic that we're all facing. Where is God in all this? Perhaps it feels like there is a dark shadow that's seemingly cast upon all the people on earth these days. Where is God in this? What about the future? Who's in control? Friends, these are not perhaps the first time there have been global pandemics. In the 14th century, history books describe the Black Death. This pandemic killed an estimated 30 to 60% of Europe's population. It took 200 years for Europe's population to recover to its previous level. We think about smallpox, tuberculosis, 1918, the Spanish flu, lasted for 2 years. Most recently in 2009, the H1N1, that affected our home. These tragedies are terrible, and no one will ever fully understand the reasons, understand the disparity these things bring. I mean, even in the nursing home where Julie's parents are, we heard this week, just yesterday, that there are 6 new COVID-19 cases. These considerations bring to real close to us loss, grief, fear, separation, anxiety, all kinds of potential ensuing trouble. It raises all kinds of questions. How is God today caring for the 7.8 billion people on His earth? And why doesn't God reveal to a scientist the vaccine for COVID-19 like He did for smallpox and tuberculosis? Well, friends, even the asking of the questions quickly helps us realize we don't have answers. These are too big of questions for us. And so here, James calls us for confession and perhaps admission. For these shadows restrict our ability to see God and understand God, and we've got to get okay with that. James is advising us not to question God's good love for the whole world when tragic events happen and things seemingly feel out of control, but rather to trust continually in God's redemptive plan. Even though it's hard to see God because of these shifting shadows, it doesn't mean God doesn't see us. It doesn't mean God does not love and does not carry in His heart a redemptive plan for all the people on His earth. It doesn't mean His story is running awry. I agree with what C.S. Lewis says when he calls life on earth as living in the shadowlands. He said it this way, the Christian life is all about waking and walking out the shadowlands towards the sun. Friends, today we must be careful to heed James' warning not to be misled because of the shadow and what Paul in 1 Corinthians calls veils. Chapter 13, verse 22. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything perfectly, with perfect clarity. All that I know is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Paul helps further explain what James is getting at. Rather than using the illustration of a shadow, he uses the illustration of a veil, and it's kind of the same thing. For all kinds of reasons, shadows and veils aren't going to be completely going away until Christ returns and ushers in a new heaven and a new earth. So in the meantime, we must practice the discipline of confession and admission to confront fear, doubts, and confusion. What do we know? You and I are very limited in our earthly and eternal view and perspective. We know that there is a wage that sin placed upon the human race over 2,000 years ago. We know that God continues to write his story, guided by his moral, permissive, and sovereign will. We know that God's ultimate goal of his narrative is, again, the final chapter of his book matters so much to God that he wants no one to perish, but all to have eternal life. And through his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, we can always find a way back to God. It's always possible to get ourselves back to God, for he's as close as the mention of his name. So friends, there is hope. God is all about giving, repairing, receiving, redeeming, reconciling. Colossians says it this way, and through him, Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So back to our text, verse 18. Your Bibles are still open. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. Friends, don't get pickpocketed. Don't be misled. Don't walk away. Don't get sidetracked. Let his truth help you as you navigate the shadowlands. Just like Lou said when he introduced this series 2 weeks ago, every trial and trouble that comes along offers us a new way to find our way back to God. This is actually what James is saying. Follow God's word back to God, for his true word will never lead you away. In just a moment, we're going to sing Good Father, and you'll be invited by Luke to share communion. Friends, God doesn't want to get us. He wants to get something to us. And certainly gathering around the communion table, we see this. Laid on a cross, perhaps now laid on a table in front of you, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether on the cross or on the table, are the reminders of God's love for you. He's a good, good father, and you are loved by him. And he carries in his heart, and he carries in his hands good, good gifts. Let's sing and prepare our hearts for communion.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers.
answers only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect. So undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
We're going to prepare now to receive communion together. As we said earlier, what we have around our house, what we have perhaps in our fridge and our pantry, is completely appropriate for communion. Maybe some water, maybe some juice, maybe some crackers or some bread. You can get that ready for yourself now. We heard out of the teaching in the text today from Dave that what is good and perfect comes from God, and that the gospel is about receiving. What does that include? It includes what is around us. What we see and what we can touch and what we can experience. Some of that is very physical. Communion is very physical. It includes Jesus, who is touched, who is handled, who is known, and who is still known to us today. What does that include? Communion reminds us of many things. What reminders does this communion meal give us? It reminds us that God is generous, and it invites us to be generous with one another. This meal lets us say with confidence to one another, God loves you, and I love you too. We find this in Corinthians. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave to thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." Let's receive the bread. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Let's receive the cup together. Thank you, Lord, for all the good gifts you give. Thank you chiefly for the best gift, which is yourself given to us. Thank you for how communion reminds us of your generosity. Communion reminds us to be generous with one another. Help us to continue to receive your love and to say to one another all the time, I love you too. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for our digital audio service. We trust that you've experienced God's gracious work in your life today. We hope that you'll join us again next week for our Mother's Day digital audio service. Carlin, would you close out our time together with a benediction?
Living Waters, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Thank you for joining us. Have a wonderful week.